So today we are remembering the work of Tearfund. And for those of you that don't know, Tearfund stands for the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund. And they work in over 50 countries, sharing the gospel of Jesus with people who are in real desperate poverty. As a church, we also remember Tearfund Sunday by having a hunger lunch at Oasis. So after the service this morning, we'll be going to Oasis for our hunger lunch, which is usually a soup and roll. And we'll also be having a quiz. So it's a fun quiz. It's not a quiz about Tearfund. It's about all kinds of different things. So we'll be having that this afternoon as well. And the good thing about the quiz is that we'll be joining with over 700 other churches that also do the quiz. And so far, over £150,000 has been raised because of doing this quiz together. So we'll be doing that. So on the subject of money and Tearfund, we've got a box in the foyer. If you're not able to come this afternoon and you'd like to donate to Tearfund, there's a box at the back, and we'll leave that out for the next couple of weeks, so that you can contribute if you want to. Okay, so we're not having tea and coffee today because we're going to be going to Oasis straight after the service for the hunger lunch. So those are all the notices for today. I'd like to open by just saying a few words from Psalm 113. Hallelujah! You who serve God, praise God. Just to speak his name is praise. Just to remember God is a blessing. Now and tomorrow and always. From east to west, from dawn to dusk, keep lifting all your praises to God. And that's exactly what we're going to do now, by singing our opening hymn, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. And If you're able, please do stand, but if it's easier to stay seated, that's absolutely fine.
To God be the glory, great things he has done, so loved. Let's go.
the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the Lord rejoice. Come to the Father, to Jesus, your soul, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Hallelujah. Please sit down. Let's come to God in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. I want to worship you and thank you for the great things you have done, for the great things you've done in creating this world, for the great things you've done in our lives. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to be our rescuer, to save us from the things we've done that hurt you and hurt one another. We're also sorry, Lord, for the times that we've messed up. And thank you that you love us and forgive us unconditionally. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. And we pray that you would teach us and encourage us this morning. Now let's share the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Okay, just
talking about yourselves for a moment. A very special visual aid.
This is a banana, but it's not just any banana, it's a top banana. Who would like to hold on to my top banana? So, bananas. Some facts about bananas. Over 5 million bananas are eaten in the UK every year. I think that's about 100 per person per year. That's about one a week. Sorry, one a week. So if you're not eating 100 bananas, who is? Unfortunately, though, about 3.2 billion bananas are thrown away every year. So it's kind of important that we try and make sure that we keep our bananas fresh. And I want to share with you this morning the life of a banana. So I've got some pictures here, and I need eight adults to come out and hold them up for me, because unfortunately I've mixed them up and I put them in the wrong order. So then I need maybe our young people to sort out the right order for me. Is that okay? So first of all, can I have eight adults starting here?
Banana, hold the banana. Be very careful with it. Okay.
bananas start 5,000 miles away in a country called Colombia. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Okay, so we're looking for a banana farm. Right, very good. So Laura, you go to the front. And did you know that it takes about a year for bananas to grow from the time that the plants are put into the ground and then they flower and then they finally produce the bananas? So great. So we've got our banana farm. And then the second time, what happens after that is that a farmer puts a big blue bag over them to keep them fresh. That's very good. Jenny's actually in the right place. Excellent. Yes. Right place at the right time. So you can see these big bunches here, and these are about 50 bananas, and then the farmer has to carry them over their shoulders to take them to somewhere to have them cleaned. Now, the next one. So they're cut into smaller bunches and carefully washed to make sure they're clean. That's it. Very good. So you swap there. Very good. And next, the boxes of bananas are lifted one by one onto a lorry. Can you see the picture of them being lifted onto a lorry? Yep, Dave. So Dave goes next. Very good. And then, full of bananas, the lorry is driven to the villages, driven through the villages to a port. That one? Yeah, very good. Very good. And next, at the port, the boxes of bananas are inspected and loaded on a forklift truck. Can you see that, Cam? Excellent. Very good. And then they're loaded onto a ship. That's it, as Howard. And then finally, they come 5,000 miles to the UK and they get checked again and they end up in our supermarket shelves. And can you see that? So that is the life of a banana. So thank you very much, everyone. You can sit down. Thank you. And you're probably asking, what on earth has that got to do with Tear Fund Sunday and the love of Jesus? But it's actually got everything to do with him. Because I wanted to share a story with you about someone who lives actually right the other side of the world, about 6,000 miles away from here, but in a country called Cambodia. Because the solution to a person's poverty can come in all different shapes and sizes. And for this woman called Chaya, it came in the form of bananas, fried bananas. So Chaya lives in a country called Cambodia, which is about 6,000 miles away. She's married and she has two children. But she lives in a very remote village where the poverty is really bad. And most people rely on growing their own food to survive. And many can't afford to give their children an education. Chai wanted more for her family, but she couldn't manage. She wanted to run her own business, but had no money or idea what to do. Fortunately, Tear Fund and their local partners were on hand to help. And their Saving for Life program is changing lives across Cambodia. And when they started working in Chai's village, she signed up. And basically what this program is they allow you to save a little bit of money each week. And then after time, you can take out a loan to start your own business. And that's what Chai wanted to do. And that was her dream. So with her newfound knowledge about how to run a business, she was able to take a loan out and she opened a stall outside her home where she sold her fried bananas. And on a good day, she would make £15, which is a huge amount of money for her family. And she's now looking to expand her business and sell even more bananas. So maybe next time you eat a banana, if you're one of those 100 people, just think about where that banana's come from and how Tear Fund is taking the love of Jesus around the world into villages to give people a chance to break out of poverty. It's like really expressing the love of Jesus in a very, very practical way. So let's just pray for a moment. Father God, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you that the solutions to our problems can come from unexpected places. We thank you for Chaya and her family and pray for your blessing upon them. We pray that more people in Cambodia will be reached by this program so that no more families will have to struggle to survive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to have two songs and our collection will be taken up in the second song. If you're a visitor or if you give your money electronically, please don't worry, just let the bags go past you. We have two sets of bags. One is for the work of the church here, and then the pots are for the 8 children that we sponsor around the world. So our two songs are Our God is an Awesome God and This is Amazing Grace.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King of all kings. Who shakes the power of holy thunder and leaves us breathless in all that wonder, the King of glory, the King of all kings. This is amazing grace, this is amazing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free.
Christ in full, all that you've done for me. Who brings the chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is a failing love that you would take.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much that you have given us everything. And we just return this money now to you for your glory and for your kingdom. We pray for our church. We pray that we will use the money wisely here in reaching others for you. And we also pray for the 8 children that we sponsor around the world. Father, may they know your love and your peace right at this moment, Father. And may you bless them as this money is used to feed them and educate them, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please sit down. Also, my thanks to Heidi and Cam, who chose those two hymns that we've just sang. These are hymns that they often sing at the school they go to in Elworth C of E. And it's great that they hear the gospel and they can sing these songs and dance and just have a lot of fun worshipping God. So please remember Elworth C of E and, of course, Brereton C of E, where Eleanor goes as well. These church schools are trying to do a great thing. So let's now turn to scripture as we read from Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. And verses 13 to 17, and then the first verse of chapter 4, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Amen. Let's just say a prayer for our children before they leave us. Father, we thank you so much for our children, our young people, and we pray for them now as they leave to go to Sunday school. We pray that they will have fun, that they will learn more about you, and we pray for their teachers as well, that you will bless them and just give them the words to have a great time this morning. Amen. Can you get the banana through the door, Chris? Great. Let's come to God now in our prayers for others. Father, we would begin by praying for our church family, and we bring before you those who may feel broken, either in body, mind, or spirit. And we pray for their restoration and for the peace to help them deal with what they are going through. We pray especially for our sister Kay, as she grieves the passing of George. We give thanks for the life and Christian witness of George. And we also pray for those mourning the passing of Harold, and pray for welcome back tomorrow as they remember Harold. We pray for our folk who are suffering physically at the moment. We bring before you Val Hardman, Chris Yardley, Lou Farry, Susie Stewart, Daphne Brearley, Jean Bacon, Betty Sturck, and Margaret and Willie Thompson. And just in a moment of silence, we pray for these folk, and also for others we may know who are struggling at the moment. For our wider church family, Father, we pray for Laurie's aunt in America, and also for Jennifer Cooper. Father, we pray for our community and for the churches in Sandbach who are looking to meet the needs of our community. We pray for people around us who are hungry, who are lonely, who have to make very difficult financial choices, and who are grieving. And then, Father, we pray for our world. And this morning we particularly pray for the work of Tear Fund. and partner churches who are fighting terrible poverty all over the world, often in dangerous circumstances. And a special prayer from Tearfund this morning. Father, let your mercy minister to those overwhelmed with fear. Let your peace prevail when injustice tears lives apart. Let your hope reign when despair feels all-consuming. And in this time of crisis, when life is full of loss, please comfort and restore those who are afraid and in pain. Amen. We are going to sing another hymn now. O let the Son of God enfold you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please sit down. And just pray for Sue as she comes to speak to us this morning. Father God, we thank you that you are here with us right now by your Spirit. We pray for Sue now as she comes to speak the words you've given her. Lord Jesus, may your love enfold her now. May your love and peace wash over her. And through Sue, may your Spirit fill us now, your lambs. Amen.
I'm in something of a turmoil this morning, a bit of a quandary. So you'll have to help me out. There are, on this Sunday today, so many themes for the church. I don't know where to start. First of all, as Andrea said, there was the visit of Neil Brighton to start the process of looking for a new minister, so that we looked at the church where it is now, so you know what we want the future to look like. And one of the questions he asked us was, what one thing can you remember from the last year, each of you, which said to you, God is here. This is a good thing. And the responses to that question were amazing. There were a vast range of answers to prayer, of loving service, of all sorts of things, of stepping forward in faith. And it felt as though the church was in a good place. We had been blessed by God. So one of the themes today is blessing, God's blessing on us as a church as we think about the future. Then there is the theme of Tear Fund, the work which Tear Fund does for justice and peace and health for poor, impoverished communities. We are reminded that we live in a wealthy country and that there are deprived and suffering people in the world. So one of the themes for today is hunger. That's why we have the lunch. That's why Tear Fund uses this Sunday as its Tear Fund Sunday. Because also it is the first Sunday in Lent. The time when we remember the 40 days and 40 nights Jesus spent in the desert, hungry. It's a time to take time out for us, I think, to reflect and prepare and journey with Jesus to Easter. In the Wednesday group, we are studying a Lent course. I know some of the other, I don't know what the other Lent courses, the other groups are doing. Wednesday group are looking at a Lent course, which invites us to learn from the very, very ancient desert fathers and mothers, those Christians who in the sort of second and third century left home and just lived in the desert with God. What can we discover from them? And the traditional readings for Sunday are about Jesus in the desert place and the temptations that met him there. So let's make sense of all of that. The first thing is... can you remember today's reading? We'll start there. What was today's reading? Jesus' baptism. John comes out of this wilderness, goes to Jordan, baptizes people, and Jesus comes to John for baptism. And John is unwilling at first, but Jesus says, let it be so. And in his baptism, Jesus stands alongside us, as it were, in the human side of Jesus, the incarnational side of Jesus. He is baptized. Then what happens? What happens as he comes out of the water? Ah, you see, I should have said there'll be questions, shouldn't I? What happens? The dove comes down from heaven. And what does the voice say? This is my son, whom I love. Yes, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. It's almost as though the spiritual bit of Jesus is affirmed here. He is the Son of God. Yes, he is the incarnate human being who was baptized like we all are. And at the same time, he was the Son of God. The Spirit came down upon him. Interestingly, we read from Matthew's Gospel. Does anybody know the different words that he heard in Mark's Gospel? Has anybody got any idea? This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Not listen to him, no. It's much, one word is changed. Mark says, you are my son, with you I am well pleased. It's as though Matthew wants the whole of the people to know, this is who this is. And in Mark's Gospel, Jesus hear the words of God to him. You are my son who I love, with you I am well pleased. Interesting, isn't it, that the Gospel writers obviously remembered or heard or had reported to slightly different versions. So this is for Jesus a turning point. He's not now going to go back to being the carpenter in Nazareth. He's now, affirmed in his mind that he is now the Son of God. He is the Messiah. How is he going to do it? Bear in mind that he was the second person of the Trinity. He hovered, the second person of the Trinity, the Son, hovered over creation with God. Jesus isn't just human like us, he's God as well. But he sort of, as it were, left behind bits of his divinity in his birth in Bethlehem. And it's as though at his baptism, these two strands to this very complicated character come together. And now he goes into the desert. Who sends him into the desert? How does he get into the desert? The Spirit. He is sent by the Spirit. Some people think he was sent by the devil so that the devil could tempt him. No, the Spirit sends him into the desert. Desolate place. No food. No people. No friends, no plants, no flowers. A place of huge, enormous solitariness. And he goes there for 40 days and 40 nights with these questions in his mind. What does it mean for me to be the Son of God? What sort of a ministry shall I have? What is my future life going to look at like? What are the implications of what has just happened to me? And we will never know the 40 days and 40 nights of of quandary and searching and thinking and praying, reflecting. We do know that there were three temptations. Well, there might have been far more, but the three we know about. Have you ever noticed how often it is when you're looking for somewhere, some way of finding the right road ahead, that somehow the wrong road suddenly appears to be the wrong road and it indicates where the right road is? Sometimes our quandaries are sorting through and facing the wrong decision so that actually the right decision becomes clear to us. There's nothing wrong with being tempted as long as we don't give in to the temptation. The temptations sometimes indicate to us the right way. So we'll have a brief look at what it teaches us about Jesus' temptations. There was going to be a second part as well about what those temptations of Jesus in the desert teach us as we walk through the desert of having no minister, as it were, what it teaches us as a church. However, when I woke up this morning, I thought there won't be time for that. So next time I come, I'll develop that thought for you. But you can think about it in the meantime. Because there were very human temptations Jesus had. They weren't temptations we don't have. Let's have a think. The first temptation was to do the spectacular. You know, jump off the temple. That will get people watching. That will alert people. They'll pay attention. But what sort of attention would it attract? What would people notice? They'd see a rather odd miracle worker with tremendous nerve and courage. Oh, who actually survived? But is that the message which God would have Jesus communicate? Does that communicate God's love and justice and truth? Jesus says to the tempter, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Don't ask me to do silly things just to test God. That's not the way God is going to speak." And then he was hungry. Good heavens, he would have been hungry. Somebody said at the Bible study last Wednesday, "I'd have been eating the stones if I'd been 40 days in the desert, never mind tempted to change them into bread. I'd have eaten stones then." He was desperately hungry. We know he could turn stones into bread. We know he could produce bread when people needed it. We know he fed 5,000 people. But the temptation here was to satisfy his own needs first, to put his own needs first. Of course, he was hungry. He'd have done anything for food. But that wasn't the way God's message was to be preached. There was more to it than that. It is written, you know, don't you? It is written, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's not just about your need for bread. It's not just about your hunger. It's about every word, Jesus, that comes out of the mouth of God. And the third temptation was to subject himself to a power other than his own, and to subject himself to a power other than that of his father, to worship the devil. "And all these things then will be given to you," temptation to take the easy way out. Let somebody else do the work. Somebody will tell me what to do. I won't have to do anything. I won't have to then do the hard things. Pursuing God's will was in some ways the hard way. It was a hard way. It led through disappointment and ministry and tiredness and weariness. And it led to people making demands on him. And it led in the end to Gethsemane. If there's any other way, I don't want it this way, God. But nevertheless, your will be done. Oh, it would have been the easiest thing in the world to let somebody else do the work, to be subject to somebody else's power. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Even if it leads to Calvary. Forty days of hunger, of struggle, of prayer, of temptation and reflection and questioning, and finally, obedience to the will of God. And then the angels came and cared for him, which is nice. The temptation to do stupendous things, to attract people's attention for the wrong in the wrong way. The temptation to put our own hunger, our own needs first. And the temptation to take the easy way, to avoid the hard questions. And we'll come back to those next month. Let us pray. Living Lord, we come before you as the people of God in Sandbach and ask your mercy and grace. Church life is hard. Some are weary and tired. Some of us are confused about the future. We face temptations in our time in the desert of an interregnum. Temptations to find an easy way. To trust in the approval of others. To put our own hunger first. Maybe even to perform spectacular things to attract attention. Living Lord, when we face temptation, make us strong and faithful. Remind us that we are your people, you are our God. And please send your angels to care for us. We ask our prayers in the name of Jesus, who battled in the desert for 40 days to find your will. Amen. And in the meantime, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and we'll sing.
Seek
ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Yes. So we'll start with verse 2. You start on this side and then we'll join you.
Is that all right? Are you going to sing each verse twice? Is that what you're saying? Because there are six verses.
So there's six verses?
Yes.
No, we're not singing.
Can we have alternate sides doing each
we'll do
verse?
We'll do alternate sides singing the words. Yes. So you're starting verse 2. You're verse 3. You
have one. And if you're not singing the verse, you do the hallelujahs again.
Yes.
All right?
Blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, remain with you always, from now and forever. Amen.